The Hoshimaral City Council acknowledges the five traditional owner groups of this land, the Wotjobaluk Wagaya, Japagalt Jadwa and Jadwajali people. We recognise the important and ongoing place that all Indigenous people hold in our community. We pay our respects to the elders, both past and present, and commit to working together in the spirit of mutual understanding and respect for the benefit of the broader community and future generations. Welcome, councillors, staff, members of the public and media to our council meeting tonight. My name is Councillor Robin Galeen, Mayor of Hoshimaral City Council. Yes, Councillor.
Robin, I've just received a message from the community, from a member in the community saying they're having trouble about a passcode to enter the live stream. I'm not sure if it's a general problem.
Okay, well, we will... We'll probably need to wait until we can fix that.
Yeah, we just suspend standing orders.
We'll just suspend the meeting for a moment until we can get that fixed. Councillor Ross moved, Councillor Bowe seconded. All those in favour? Thank you. We'll just hold fire until we can get that link. We'll re-establish the link on the council website.
Apologies then for not referring.
If anyone is looking for it, that should be there. So we'll resume standing orders, please. Thank you, Councillor Bell, Councillor Bowe, all those in favour. Place your hand where I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. I advise that tonight's council meeting will be recorded to main an audio archive, which will be available on the Hoshimaral City Council website as soon as possible. Please note that this meeting is being streamed live on the internet. Councillors participating in this meeting by electronic means will be taken to be present and part of the quorum for the meeting, provided that they can hear proceedings, they can see and be seen by other members in attendance, and they are able to speak and be heard by those in attendance. I will now ask each councillor individually to confirm this. Councillor Haynell, can you please confirm that you can see and hear other members in attendance and that you are able to speak?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I confirm.
Thank you, Councillor Haynell. Councillor Bell.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I confirm that I can see and hear others present. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Councillor Bowe.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I can confirm I can hear and see everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Councillor Power.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I can see and hear everybody and I'm alone in my house.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I confirm that those 3 points. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Ms. Bell?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I can see and hear everyone.
Thank you. Mr. O'Brien?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I can see and hear everyone.
Thank you. Mr. Martin?
Sorry, Madam Mayor. Yes, all confirmed. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we'd be good at muting that by now. We have an apology from Councillor Flynn tonight. So could I have a motion to accept the apologies, please? Councillor Haynell, Councillor Ross, all those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. Are there any requests for leave of absence? No, thank you. Item 6, confirmation of minutes. The minutes of the council meeting held on Monday, 13th of December. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Bell.
I'm prepared to move that. I move that those the minutes of the council meeting on December the 13th be confirmed. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Could I have a seconder for that motion, please? Councillor Bowe, all those in favour, please raise your hand. Thank you. That is carried. Item 7, conflicts of interest. Are there any declarations of conflict of interest, Councillor Bell?
Madam Mayor, I don't have a conflict. I'm not declaring a conflict for item, 9.5 because it's of general nature. And it's not the general nature won't affect groups I'm involved in. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have a conflict to declare? Thank you. Item 8, public questions. Tonight we have received a number of public questions, the first three being from Mr. Neville McIntyre of Mackenzie Creek. Question one. My question is, what is the true rate increase for the farm sector to achieve the $649,470 rate increase as recorded? Ms. Bell, would you please provide a response?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just bear with me while I get that. I'm sorry, Madam Mayor, I wasn't given that sheet. I'll just, if you give me a minute, I can track it down.
I'm happy to respond.
Mr. Barlow will read the response. Thank you, Ms. Bell, if you want to find the next response.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Mr. McIntyre, for your question. The 2021-22 rate increase for the farm sector was 10.69%, which equated to $645,470. And is recorded in the Council 21-22 budget.
Thank you, Mr. Bala. Question two, with the increase in the differential, many farmers received a rate reduction, which other farmers had to pay for. For example, my farm rates fell by $1,200, meaning the farm rate increase would have risen to $650,670. This must have happened to maybe 100 farmers or more, and that increase would be absorbed with a higher than advertised rate increase. Ms. Bell, do you have that response in front of you?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. The farm differential decreased from 67% to 59% in 2021-22. The decrease in the farm differential impacts all other sectors, including residential, commercial, and industrial properties. The impact on all sectors' individual assessments will vary according to the change in their property value for that particular year.
Thank you, Ms. Bell. Question three. With Toys Restaurant up for sale, why doesn't Council buy and convert this site into a joint tourist bureau, Aboriginal Cultural Centre Cafe, and a Horsham Historical Society Museum? These opportunities do not often arise. Horsham needs such a centre. There is plenty of room for caravans, etc., to park off-road, room for historical displays and machinery, cafe, and we need to have an Aboriginal cultural centre to recognise the Aborigine history in the Wimmera. Mr. O'Brien, do you have a response to that question, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Mr. McIntyre, for your question. Council is aware that the Toys Restaurant is for sale. The land is zoned residential. Due to the current demand for housing in Horsham, this would be an ideal use for this site. Council has recently established its visitor services at the Horsham Town Hall. An Aboriginal cultural centre and museum have been proposed in the City to River Master Plan.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. I now have two questions from Kath Domesny of Horsham. Question one, it has been stated a number of times in the past 12 months that the Sawyer Park redevelopment won't go ahead until all the user groups, pipe band, brass band, etc., have been rehoused in suitable premises. Can you tell me how this particular part of the project is coming along? Have new premises been found for these groups as yet? Mr. O'Brien, do you have a response to this question, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And thank you, Kath, for your question. There has been a number of conversations and meetings that have taken place and will continue to take place with pipe band, brass band and men's shed, noting that the groups that will be impacted in the first stage of the redevelopment will be the brass band and pipe band, if that's supported tonight by council. Alternative venues are currently being discussed to meet these groups' needs, and it is expected that a suitable venue for these groups to be relocated to, including time to relocate, will occur before commencement of stage one works, which will go ahead if funding is secured towards the end of 2022.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Question two, RE9.8 procurement operations, preparation of operating procedures and systems, council works program, depot contract 11-022. I note that the cost of the preferred tender is $370,000, excluding GST. Field Force 4 provided quantifiable projected savings. So what savings in dollars roughly are envisaged over the next couple of years, and do they add up to considerably more than $370,000? Mr. Martin, are you able to provide a response, please?
Yes, thanks, Madam Mayor. And I advise for Kath's question that the estimated savings from the Field Force 4 project exceed the cost of $370,000 in a very acceptable payback period, based either on the best case or worst case scenario presented. The details of this are provided to councillors in the confidential section for their consideration and assessment.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. We move to officer reports. Number 9.1, City Oval Sawyer Park Redevelopment Funding Strategy. The purpose of this report is to approve funding applications for the Stage 1 redevelopment of the City Oval and Sawyer Park precinct. Yes, Councillor Powell.
Madam Mayor, where I'm sitting at the moment, I've got two air conditioners going here at my place. I'm still extremely hot. And I was wondering if you could see, in your wisdom, to allow me and other males or females that wish to take off a jacket or their tie to do so. Currently, outside it's 35 degrees, so I'm looking for some guidance in this respect.
I think that is a fair call, Councillor Power. So if you and Councillor Bowe would like to remove your jackets, I think that is a fair call tonight.
Thank you.
Councillor Bell.
Madam Mayor, I would like to request that the recommendations in 9.1 be broken up, please, and not moved as a 10-point motion.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Councillors, are there any questions you would like, questions or clarifications you would like covered off before we move into this motion? Councillor Haynell. Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. My question has sort of two parts, but the first one's only a yes or a no. As Council were only presented with the concept plan for the City Oval Sawyer Park redevelopment recently at the end of November, have the schematic designs been completed for all the works included in these funding applications presented to us in item 9.1? And if so, when were they completed, please?
Mr. O'Brien, do you have an answer for that question?
Through you, Madam Mayor. So the schematic designs are being completed as we speak. So we're doing the next level of design work post the council decision. Obviously, the timeframe for funding applications are very short, including one application that already has been submitted. So the refinement of those plans is currently happening to be able to submit these funding applications if council supports that tonight.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Councillor Bell.
Can I ask the second part to that, please?
Yes, you may.
Can you please tell me where the funding for completing these schematic designs is included in the 21-22 budget, because I'm unable to find it?
Mr. O'Brien.
Through you, Madam Mayor. So there was funding allocated for developing the concept plan for City Oval Sawyer Park. That was $100,000 allocated towards that. So as part of that development of the concept plan, it also included developing schematic designs beyond the concept plan development. So that's included in that figure. And that was what we contracted our consultant Track to actually carry out. So beyond the concept plan being developed, the schematic planning is now being undertaken.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Councillor Bowe. No. Councillor Ross.
No questions. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Powell.
No questions. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. It, as Councillor Bell said, it is a 9-part recommendation, so we can break it up, but I will be asking the person to move it to be breaking it up as they go. So do I have someone prepared to move the recommendation as a motion?
Madam Mayor, are we talking about the 10 recommendations?
Yes.
I'll move with that.
Councillor Power, thank you.
Right, the recommendation, the council number one, note the stage one of the City Oval and Sawyer Park Precinct redevelopment includes the following key components. 1.1, community facilities, including AFL standard change rooms. 1.2, netball facilities, including two netball courts, lighting, change rooms, and spectator areas. 1.3, event activation, stage, supporting infrastructure, roadworks and landscaping. And 1.4, the total cost of stage one works is $12.8 million, if undertaken as one project. Point two, approve the allocation of the $2,856,792 provided by the Australian Government under its Local Roads and Community Infrastructure, LRCI, Phase 3 program to provide matching funding as follows. 2.1, netball facilities application, SRB, of $1,856,792 and 2.2 being event activation application, RDV, for $1 million. Point three, note an application to the Regional Development Victoria, RDV, Regional Tourist Investment Fund for the event activation project. Total project budget, $3 million. Grant request, $2 million, was submitted on the 14th of January, 2022. Point four, submit an application to the SRB, Local Sports Infrastructure Fund, for the netball facilities. Total project budget, $3 million. Grant request, $800,000. Point five, submit an application to the Federal Government's Building Better Regions Fund, BBRF, to complete all of stage one of the City Oval Sawyer Park Precinct redevelopment. Total budget, $12.8 million. Grant request is $6.4 million. Point six is support the applications for the $12.8 million stage one of the City Oval and Sawyer Park redevelopment project. Council confirms matching council co-contribution of $6.4 million. Point number seven, support an application for the BBRF stage one of the City Oval and Sawyer Park redevelopment project and confirm matching council co-contribution of $6.4 million. Point number eight, note that the matching council co-contribution of $6.4 million will be reduced by successful state government applications for the netball facilities of $800,000 and the event activation facilities, $2 million. If all applications are successful, the council co-contribution to stage one is reduced to $3.6 million, or 28% of the total stage one budget. Point number nine, note that the commitment of the council co-funding is dependent upon receiving funding from the state and federal governments. The projects will only proceed if the relevant funding application number 2, 3, 4 as above are successful. And point number 10, council's co-contribution will be funded through borrowings and the inclusion in the CAPEX plan over the two financial years, those being 2022 to 2023 and 2023 to 2024, as detailed in this report.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Councillor Bell, we will debate the entire thing, but I will break it up as we vote on it so we can vote on each individual item since Councillor Power has chosen to move the entire thing. Is that acceptable?
To do that, Madam Mayor, wouldn't you need a separate motion for each? You're voting on an overall motion, but you're breaking it up for voting. That doesn't add up governance-wise to me.
You can split the motion when you put it to vote.
We can still split the motion to put it to vote. Okay, councillors, is anyone opposed to this motion? Okay, Councillor Power, would you commence debate, please?
Just checking. Thanks, Madam Mayor. I was just checking to see what I was on mute again. Yes. Where do we start? City Oval Sawyer Park redevelopment. We've been talking and talking and talking as this council and as the previous council in relation to this. We have now got a recommendation in front of us that shows us or gives us guidance as to where we are going to go in relation to funding applications and what. It gives us a figure of what and if things don't go to plan. The plan is here in front of us now of what funding will be required to do what. So I suggest, and I am hopeful that all my fellow councillors, after we've spoken about this in November, December, and early January, that we now can proceed.
I'll just stop for a moment, Councillor Powell. We just lost Councillor Bell.
I could lose my train of thought.
That's all right. She's back again. Keep going.
What I was saying there was I was hoping that I would get the support of all the councillors for this recommendation in relation to that we as the Horsham community can see the costings that are put out in front of us, the applications that have been put in and the applications that will go in, so as it we can obtain for the people of Horsham and its community, surrounding community, facilities that are A-grade, something we are missing at the moment. But we need these applications to go in to enable us to get these facilities with the least amount of money needed to be provided by the residents of Horsham and the surrounding communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Councillor Bowe.
Yep, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to say, because I've said this before, that these funding opportunities play a central role in our community as it lessens the project's costs on our community, supports the community connection and respects the community's ever-changing needs. As Councillor Power said, there has been numerous occasions where we've discussed it. I fondly remember on the 13th of December, the funding scenario was presented to Council for discussion as the first application of the Regional Development Victoria Regional Tourism Fund had to be lodged by the January 14th before the January 2022 meeting. And all of the seven councillors agreed to submit the funding applications at this time. There are two other funding applications, which are the Sports Recreational Victoria Local Sports Infrastructure Fund application, which is due on the 7th of February 2022, and the Federal Building Regions Fund Round 6 application, which is due on the 14th of February 2022. These funding applications will not be known until at least mid-2022, and if they're successful with the grants, works will not probably commence until at least late 2022, of my understanding. And obviously, there is a lot more work to be continued with the community groups who need access to City Over Sawyer Park and who require a suitable location during the various stages of the redevelopment. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Firstly, in response to Councillor Bowie's comment about us recently discussing and making a decision, councillors, our code of conduct clearly states in 6.7 that we can only make decisions at council meetings, not at briefings or any other discussion times. Funding opportunities are great. I've got no problems with funding opportunities. I understand the value of leveraging, and that's the only way we'll achieve the big projects. However, my problem is that I'm here to represent the whole community and the whole municipality fairly and equally. The Local Government Act requires that I do that. And yet all the funding opportunities always seem to be directed towards city to river. There's a lot of other parts in the municipality. As councils, we've had very little discussion on this project, certainly not what I would expect to represent our community on an estimated $17 million total project, not just this one, not this section. At the November meeting during debate, we heard how initial costings presented to the CRG were $34 million. This was presented as $17 million to council, all based on estimates completed on a concept plan. I stated during that debate that this project had in fact been costed at $10.5 million in the long-term financial plan, and I requested new calculations on the long-term borrowings with the $17 million cost estimates. I haven't received that. Tonight's report mentions a cost-benefit analysis, which use hard data to evaluate decisions for the best outcome. But as councillors, I haven't anyway, received that. Following concept plans, projects usually move to schematic design, which I've already asked in my question earlier. This looks at detailed scale and construction challenges and produces more detailed designs for costing and framework to move forward into design detail and onto construction. This means a project is shovel ready. We hear the term shovel ready a lot. This project is not shovel ready, and if it was before these applications, it should have been before these applications were due. Sorry. I would suggest that this may have serious implications for errors of judgment in both design and costs due to the limited time given to this stage. Surely best project management would have schematic designs completed prior to funding applications. When we were asked about priority projects later in the year, last year, September, October, prior to this concept being accepted, we were told that this project would be shovel ready by the end of April 2022. Here we are, mid-January.
30 seconds to go.
Okay. So, on December the 13th, we had 20 minutes to discuss a rush presentation on this funding proposal. And I would suggest that most of the councillors and other people in this room would actually spend more time researching buying a new car for themselves than they're spending on discussing the funding for this. And so, you know, I note in point nine of this that the $6.4 million grant application can still go ahead, then
that's time, Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Haynell.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thanks to councillors for their passionate points of view. We've been on this journey since the start, and some of those before we started on council. Just based on the facts I've been given to date, we have been constantly assured that the community groups that need to find a new home will be looked after and have a new home found prior to construction commencing. Now, whilst I've always been for the betterment of our public spaces, I do note that in this report it states that there is additional risk around the need for relocation of some community groups prior to the commencement of construction. This is what I've been on about this whole time in council, and I've repeatedly asked, please find homes for these community groups because they are part of our community and we need to respect that and ensure that they're not left hanging. So the men's shed and the Horsham Brass and Pipe Band are yet to find a home. We, this council, resolved to ensure that these community groups have a home for construction commences. I'm unsure that this will actually happen before construction starts. We've been assured that it will, but in 18 months, I'm yet to see it. So I've raised it many times and I'll continue to raise it and continue to follow it up and maintain that it is now critical that we do find alternative homes for these community groups that may be disadvantaged by this project at this construction phase. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Haynell. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'm not against this project per se, but I'm really concerned about the planning of this project and the way it's going. And I believe this coming to council now is premature. And I'll detail why I believe that's so. When I stood to be a councillor, I was looking at the council and the projects of many millions of dollars being spent. There was never any cost benefit analysis done. People would say, I like, and then there'd be a rush and a push to have massive spending and borrowings to facilitate those facilities. And once again, I see it happening here. I have not seen any cost-benefit analysis. The closest I've heard come to that is somebody commented that we'll be able to attract doctors to Horsham if we do this. Well, I think that's nonsense. Our problems are far deeper than that. And if this is going to attract tourism, I want to see what cost-benefit analysis that will have to our motels, our accommodation places, and how we'll achieve that. I have seen nothing like that. I'm concerned in relation to some of the ongoing governance. We had a working group develop this project up. Effectively, they were gagged. They weren't allowed to talk to the groups, the clubs, or the councillors. And when it came to the vote, we were told it had unanimous support. There was 4 out of 12 people on that committee voted for the project. This was brought to us at a briefing in relation to prioritise which would be the best funding option. And we're told it was a no-brainer, but to follow one way. And then out of that meeting, we were then told that we'd approved it. And I find it quite amazing. I think it's poor governance. We're also promised very early on that this project would not proceed until the brass band, the pipe band, and the men's shed had alternative homes. And here we are pursuing it, pushing it, and they haven't got alternative homes. I've been told on the grapevine that Jubilee Hall is a possible home, but it won't cut it. The pipe band and brass band need large areas to do the manoeuvres and marching they do when they perform. And at Jubilee Hall, those facilities are not available. The costings for this, I think, are fairly rubbery. At first, it came at $30 million, and it's $17 million, and this portion is $12.8 million. The schematic, just been told that schematic designs are not complete. So how could you have effective costings for this if you haven't completed those stages of developing a project? This puts council into possible, potentially, over $6 million in debt. What discussions we had about that debt load and how that would be serviced? I'm trying to remember what the name of the fund is, but it's the federal fund. It's 30 seconds, right? The federal funding we're applying for is commonly on a pork barrel fund, where around election times you get more money. So to catch a pork barrel, do you throw good governance out the window? I don't think you do. I think it's very important that planning is so important that we do this properly, because currently we're also looking at the feasibility study for a sporting precinct, and will this oval become largely redundant in 5 years' time if we spend all this money on it? Surely we should have our sporting precinct plan finished first.
Thank you, Councillor. That is time. Councillor Power, is there anything else you would like to say to close out?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Some interesting points of view there by different councillors, which is really great, because that's what we're all about. We're here tonight to make a decision of whether we are going to support this recommendation in support of obtaining some funding to create far better facilities than what we have got now. Yes, we've heard about cost benefits. We heard gagging mentioned. We heard poor governance. We also heard that the costings may be a rubbery. I don't think that sounds very good on behalf of all our employees, City Council employees, that have put a lot of time, effort, and the cost that's gone into coming up with the figures that are being produced.
Point of order, Madam Mayor, I don't believe that personal comments like that are necessary.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Keep your comments targeted to the topic, Councillor Power, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would have thought they were relevant to the topic, because that's what we're talking about, time and the effort that have gone in.
Point of order, Madam Mayor, we're still going on talking about staff issues rather than this project.
Councillor Powell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. As you can see, I'm being closed down, but I've just asked for the respect and support for the recommendation that we have spoken about, and tonight is the time that we make a decision on it. I'm all in favour of supporting this, because it's something that as a community, and not just Horsham, but as a rural community, we need this. We are midway between Melbourne and Adelaide. We need to attract greater opportunities, whether it be the City Oval, Sawyer Park, or whatever. We need to encourage people to come live here in Horsham, but also come and support activities that we have in Horsham. And this is one way that we can actually do that, by being proactive. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Councillors, I promised Councillor Bell we would break this motion up. We will do them one at a time. So we will start with Dot 1.
Madam Mayor.
Yes, Councillor Powell.
We voted on the recommendation and I put forward 10 points in the recommendation. I don't believe that we can now go and vote individually on each recommendation. There's one recommendation, not 10 separate ones.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Powell.
No, we can. You can put it to vote separately, Madam Mayor, so you can put them as 10 different items.
Do you want to take that off so everyone can hear you, please?
Yes, it's okay, councillors, for the chair to put the motion in separate parts. So our governance rules allow the motion to be separated. So it's okay.
Thank you, Mr. Bala. Councillors, we have dot point one. All those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it clearly. Those against? Thank you. That is a tied vote. I will use my casting vote because Councillor Penny Flynn is not here and she is fully supportive of this, so this motion is carried.
Madam Mayor, I actually believe Councillor Powell is right. If the motion is moved as one by a mover, I believe it cannot then be broken up. But anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Do you have the governance rules in front of you?
Yeah, look, as I've stated a couple of times, Madam Mayor, already, the motion can be put by you as the chair separately to vote.
Okay, so item one has been carried. Item two, approve the allocation of the funding. So councillors will vote on item two. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Those against? Thank you. I'll use my casting vote for Councillor Flynn and that is carried as well.
Madam Mayor, call for a division, please.
Certainly, Councillor Bell. All those in favour of item two, please raise your hand. Councillor Bowe, Councillor Powell, Councillor Galeen, those against, please raise your hand. Thank you. Councillor Haynell, Councillor Ross, Councillor Bell, thank you. Tied vote. I will use my casting vote to carry that motion. Item three. Note that the application has already been submitted. Councillors, all those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Those against? Thank you. I will use my casting vote and carry that one as well.
Madam Mayor, division, please.
Certainly, Councillor Bell. All those in favour of item three, noting the application on January 14, please raise your hand. Councillor Bowe, Councillor Powell, Councillor Galeen, those against, please raise your hand. Thank you. Councillor Haynell, Councillor Ross, Councillor Bell, thank you. Tied vote. I'll use my casting vote for Councillor Flynn to pass that motion. Item four, submit an application to the SRV Local Sports and Infrastructure. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you. Those against? Thank you. That's a tied vote. I'll use my casting vote and that is carried for Councillor Flynn.
Call for a division, please, again, Madam Mayor.
Certainly, Councillor Bell. All those in favour of item four, submitting the application to SRV for the netball facilities, please raise your hand. Councillor Bowe, Councillor Powell, Councillor Galeen, those against. Councillor Ross, are you voting for or against? No, I can't hear you, Councillor Ross.
I was out of sync, sorry, but I was actually thinking, well, the way the voting's going, much more sensible to move this remaining as one, and because we seem to be voting a similar way. So I suggest we finish this one and then vote on the rest in one go. Thank you.
No, I'll be voting all of them separate, as I promised at the start, Councillor Ross. So are you voting in favour of this one or against?
Against, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So those against, please raise your hand where I can see it. Councillor Haynell, Councillor Ross, Councillor Bell, thank you. Tied vote. I will use Councillor Flynn's casting vote as to carry that. Item five.
Madam Mayor, call for a division, please.
I thought that was the division. That was the division, Councillor Bell. Item five, submit an application to the federal government's BBRF. All those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you. Those against, please raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you. Tied vote. I'll use my casting vote for Councillor Flynn. That is carried.
Point of order, Madam Mayor, your casting vote is used anyway. It's got nothing to do with Councillor Flynn. She may have voted that way, but it's really irrelevant because she's not present. It's your casting vote and that's how it should be given. Thank you.
It is Councillor Ross, but I'm voting the way Councillor Flynn would have voted. So that is why I'm stating that point. Item six, support the applications and council confirm matching contribution. All those
Sorry, Madam Mayor, to continue this debate. So therefore, if I was not absent at a meeting and I was going to vote against something, would you then vote for why I want to vote?
Well, and if it was a casting vote, Councillor Ross.
So you're setting a precedent now that if I'm not present at a meeting and I would to vote against something, you would put your casting vote that way?
If it was a casting vote, I would consider doing that, yes.
You would consider, you're not giving that undertaking.
Well, so we'll see what the debate is.
So I'm making is how Councillor Flynn would vote was really irrelevant because she's not present. Because you can't do that and set a precedent. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Item six, council confirming the council co-contribution.
Excuse me, Mayor, can I call for a division on that last one, please?
Certainly, Councillor Haynell. Councillors, for the BBRF application, all those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Bow, Councillor Powell, Councillor Gillane, those against. Councillor Haynell, Councillor Ross, Councillor Bell. Thank you. That is a tied vote. Had we already done the division on that one? No? Okay. Thank you. Casting vote. I vote in favour and it is carried. Item six, Council's matching co-contribution. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you. Those against? Thank you. Tied vote. I will use my casting vote and that is carried.
Division,
for a division. Yep.
Certainly. All those in favour of item six, please raise your hand so I can see it. Councillor Power. Those in favour, Councillor Bow, Councillor Gillane, thank you. Those against, Councillor Haynell, Councillor Ross, Councillor Bell. Thank you. Tied vote. I use my casting vote to carry that. Item seven. Confirm the council co-contribution for the BBRF application. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you. Those against? Thank you. Tied vote. I'll use my casting vote.
Call for a division, please, Madam Mayor.
Certainly, Councillor Bell. All those in favour of the council co-contribution for the BBRF application? Councillor Bow, Councillor Powell, Councillor Gillane. Those against? Councillor Haynell, Councillor Ross, Councillor Bell. Thank you. Tied vote. I'll use my casting vote to carry that. Item eight, note that the council co-contribution will reduce if we are successful with the other state government applications. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Thank you. Those against? Thank you. That is a tied vote. I will use my casting vote to carry that. Item nine, note the commitment of council's co-funding.
Can I call for a division on that last one too?
No, please. I've already moved on, Councillor Haynell. Note that the commitment of council co-funding is dependent on receiving funding from state and federal governments, that they will only proceed if we receive the applications in 2, 3, and 4. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you. Those against? Thank you. That is a tied vote. I will use my casting vote and that is carried.
For a division, Madam Mayor.
Certainly. All those in favour of noting that the council co-funding is dependent on receiving funding from state and federal government, please raise your hand so I can see it. Councillor Bow, Councillor Powell, Councillor Gillane, those against? Councillor Haynell, Councillor Ross, Councillor Bell. Thank you. That is a tied vote. I will use my casting vote to carry that. Council number 10, Council's co-contribution will be funded through borrowings and inclusion in the CapEx over the next 2 years. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Councillor, thank you. Those against? Thank you. That's a tied vote. I will use my casting vote to pass that.
May I call division, Madam Mayor?
Certainly, Councillor Powell.
Thank you.
All those in favour of item 10, please raise your hand so I can see it. Councillor Bow, Councillor Powell, Councillor Gillane. Those against? Councillor Haynell, Councillor Ross, Councillor Bell. Thank you. Tied vote. I will use my casting vote to carry that. Thank you, councillors. Item 9.2, councillor standing as a state or federal candidate policy. The purpose of this report is to adopt the councillor standing as a state or federal candidate policy. Councillors, is there any questions or clarification before we continue? Councillor Haynell? No. Councillor Ross?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Should this be entitled policy guidelines rather than straight policy? Because some of their policies proposed are different to the Act. What the Act says is enforceable. So I believe it's best if they're called guidelines rather than a word, or inclusive of the word guidelines. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Barlow, would you like to comment on that?
Well, it is about policy of council, Madam Mayor. So, and yes, some of the content of the policy is guidance. It's really up to the councillors. And if you want to call it policy and guidelines, that's fine as well. So it's any issues.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Bowe, do you have any questions? No. Councillor Power? No. Councillor Bell, do you have any questions?
Yes, Madam Mayor, further to that one, I understood that a policy was binding. So if it's got comments and guidelines in there that aren't actually binding by the Act or the law, then I don't believe it's a policy.
Mr. Barlow?
Yeah, through you, Madam Mayor. The reason we need a policy is, you know, because there's no legislative guidance around these issues. So as councillors, you're aware, the MAV has provided guidance to councillors seeking election to the state or federal parliament. So that's why we are recommending that council adopt a policy so that it provides clarity to councillors and also gives a level of transparency to the community as well.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. Okay, councillors, I have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Bowe.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that council adopt the councillor standing as a state federal candidate policy attached 9.92A. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Powell. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Thank you. Councillor Bowe, you may commence, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's my understanding that this policy, it started and it's supported by the position of the Municipal Association of Victoria on council standing in the state or federal elections. And it, I believe it also gives a clear understanding to councillors, council, community and media of a councillor's role in council and when they stand as candidate in the state and federal election, and to ensure that any conflicts of interest or comments or actions are declared and managed, which includes any conflicts of interest that may arise as a result of being a candidate in a state or federal election. I've been involved, and I'm happy to see this report, as I've always wondered over the years how a current councillor, when they are a councillor, and when how they go about standing for a state or federal election. So thanks for this policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Councillor Power.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move amendment, please.
Yes, Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. In the title of this document, I'd like to see the word policy removed and that we put in the word guidelines.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Do I have a seconder for that amendment? Thank you, Councillor Bell. Is anyone opposed to that amendment? I am. Okay, Councillor Ross, you may start explaining why we should change this.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. First of all, I think the federal and state acts are very clear, and they state what must happen already. They do cover this very well, and the MAV has put a document out to support that. And if I can hold this up in front of the camera, it says guidelines. Because if you make a policy that goes against, is stronger than the Act, then can't be, how do you enforce that? And some of the things here, I think, are stronger than what the Act says. The Act's very clear that once you nominate, you should then stand aside. But once you're elected, you must then resign from council. And it opens us up, I think, for all sorts of challenges to the policy and legal challenges. Whereas if you put them as guidelines, it alleviates all that problem. And it's just simply put, covers us legally to say what we think is best practice. And then how the individual treats that and manages that is up to them. But there's no responsibility then come back to council. The responsibility is on the individual who may be a candidate for the state and federal elections. If it seemed to be good enough for the MAV to call them guidelines, I believe it would be wise if we did also. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to support exactly what Councillor Ross has said, but I'd also like to add that in this policy, in this draft that's put for us tonight, there's actually 11 shoulds. So shoulds are not enforceable. So, you know, I'd actually call it the should policy if it was a policy, but I believe that there's a number of things there, and it talks about mitigate the likelihood of any local government act. Well, each of us as candidates, whether we go for parliament or we're just councillors, we're all liable for any breaches or whatever. It's not up to council to mitigate that. We're each personally liable. So based on the fact that there's 11 shoulds in there, I definitely support the fact that it be guidelines because it's not enforceable as it should.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Would anyone else like to speak?
I would like to speak to the recommend or to the policy as it currently stands. When can I do that?
Well, we're doing the amendment right at this moment, Councillor Haynell, so we will continue with this amendment. Does anyone else want to speak for or against the amendment?
I would just like to support what the previous two councillors, Ross and Bell, has said, because I agree with the fact that they are just guidelines. There's no need for us to then call it a policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Haynell. Councillor Bowe.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I ask a question to Mr. Barlow around the difference between calling it guidelines and policy, if I may ask, if it's a suitable question, in why it was called a policy instead of the guidelines?
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Mr. Barlow, is there a reason why we have used this template?
Yeah, so it is proposed as a policy, Madam Mayor. Yes, there are items, you know, which are of discretionary nature, but that's not unusual. You know, the policy does have some leverage. You know, I mean, you would recall the other day we were discussing the one of the other policies, and I think was to do with the council expenses. You know, so that has some discretion as well. So it's not unusual to have it. I think the idea is to actually provide some guidance, you know, to the councillors as to how they can effectively discharge their role as a councillor. So that's why I suggested, I think, you know, the option could be that you can call it a policy and guideline. So that's the other option I suggested earlier.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Barlow. Is anyone else, anything else you'd like to say, Councillor Bowe?
No, ma'am.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak for or against this amendment?
Madam Mayor, I'd just like to make a comment, if I may, in relation to the governance. My understanding of the governance rules are we're not supposed to have questions during debate. We have questions before, and the debate time is for councillors. Anyway, it's just a
thank
point.
You.
Thank you.
I agree, Councillor Ross. However, because you brought an amendment looking at changing words, I allowed Councillor Bowe to seek clarification on the difference between the two words. So, yes, that is the only reason I accepted that question. Okay, so I am opposed to changing it from policy to guidelines. All of the shoulds are exactly the same as in the MAV guidelines, and this policy is modelled on the South Gippsland Shire policy that was written by the administrators. So I am very comfortable leaving it as the name policy, but that is up to the majority of councillors to decide. So we will now put this amendment to the vote, and the amendment is to change the word policy in the recommend of the to guidelines.
What about, Madam Mayor? Do I have a right to reply?
Oh, sorry. Beg your pardon, Councillor Ross. Yes.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I think it's important that this document be called guidelines, because by calling it policy, it has is up then for legal challenge. If you try and enforce it, it can then be legally challenged, and then it just gives more cost to council, and it creates it's just more of a headache that is needed. Whereas the called guidelines, it's very clear that they're there to protect council, and they're there to show what council believes is best practice for our municipality. And I just believe that's the best outcome for our municipality, because we don't need unnecessary legal costs. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillors, we'll put this amendment to the vote. All those in favour of changing the word, changing it from a policy to guidelines, please raise your hand so I can see it. Those against? Thank you. That has been carried. So we have now got a councillor standing as a state or federal candidate guidelines rather than policy.
Sounds good.
Okay. Councillor Power, I was up to asking you if you had anything you wish to say.
No, I'm good. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Does anyone else like to speak?
Excuse me, Madam Mayor, we're speaking about the whole motion now that the amendment...
Yes, we're back to the substantive motion. Yes, the amendment has been carried. Would anyone else like to speak for or against this motion? Councillor Bell?
I'm not sort of standing for or against on this part. I'll just have a further comment about the policy. 4.2.3 talks about reimbursement of councillors out of pocket expenses during the election period. I'm not sure why it does that when 4.1.4 states that the councillor must take leave of absence as soon as they nominate. I would have thought that if we've taken leave of absence that we wouldn't be entitled to any expenses, so I believe that's not applicable.
Again, the policy recommends that the councillor should take leave of absence rather than must. So the councillors, if they choose to not seek leave of absence and continue in the councillor role. So it's just, again, another reminder, you know, on the need to separate, you know, the costs associated with undertaking the councillor role from the costs associated with the candidacy.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Haynell, would you like to speak now?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That's great. Yes, I would. I'm glad that this has been changed from policy to guidelines, because the wording of what was at the policy has no legal standing. It simply requests by stating would, could, should, it recommends. The wording is copied from the Municipal Association of Victoria guidelines. So why try and rewrite what is already available? Why rewrite the MAV guidelines and the Local Government Act into a policy that has no grounds? Just because the South Gippsland Shire has done it doesn't mean we have to. The only relevance is the Local Government Act, where it states that the councillor needs to keep the federal candidacy activities separate and notify the CEO as soon as elected. That is it. This is just more red tape that we don't need, a waste of council staff time at the expense of the ratepayer. How much does it cost in time and money to copy guidelines that are already available into additional policies? Council does not need to have a policy for everything that comes across its desk and shouldn't have a policy that has no legal standing. So I'm glad that this is now back to guidelines, because a councillor is under no obligation to take leave of absence, and that policy, or now guidelines, did request it. They are under no obligation and they are not legally required to do so. They only need to abide by the overarching Local Government Act. You can't just remove an elected councillor by bullying them into taking leave of absence, which is exactly what this was trying to do. And let me remind you, Madam Mayor, the Australian Commonwealth Electoral Act, which overrides everything, states that discrimination against a councillor on the grounds that the councillor has been or is to be nominated or declared as a candidate for the House of Representatives or the Senate has no effect. I note that you very conveniently left this out of the policy. And really, let's face it, the reason the policy is here is because I've recently indicated my intention, and it is just an intention, to nominate as an independent candidate at an upcoming federal election. The election date hasn't even been called yet. I haven't even officially nominated. And even if I do actually nominate, I have received advice and am under no legal obligation to take leave of absence, and I have no intention of taking leave of absence, as I will continue to be a councillor for the community who elected me until I'm successfully elected to Canberra. I've already put you on notice, Madam Mayor, if you try to enforce this heavy-handed policy, now guidelines, I will go to the media over it, and I stand by my word. The policy is a continuation of the bullying, harassment and victimisation I've experienced as a councillor under your watch, and I'm calling it out. The policy has no legal standing, and you know it, or now guidelines, and I won't be voting in favour of these guidelines.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Power, you're waving your hand madly at me. Yes, what can I do for you?
Madam Mayor, I find some of that Councillor Harnell, when she used the word bullying, etc., towards the rest of the councillors, very disrespectful, and I'd like an apology from her in relation to that.
Thank you, Councillor Power. We'll leave it at that. Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Now that the document's been changed to a guideline, I'm happy to support it because it's in line with MAV guidelines, and I think it adds to good advice for any candidate who wishes to stand. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Bowes, is there anything you would like to say to close out?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'd like to say thanks to all councillors for their comments on the guidelines. I'm happy with the change of words. I just wanted clarification. And I just sort of feel that, as I sort of said, and I hope I sort of said when I said it, was it makes it easy for members of the public if they've got questions and they want to know, because if there is a potential candidate, say, in the future, and they want to stand as a councillor, at least they know what they're, where they can find on the council website, because I don't know how easy it would be for a member of the public to find it on the MAV site or any of the other local government sites if they haven't been to that site before. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Councillors, we'll put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you. Those against? Thank you. That is carried.
Call for a division, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Haynell. All those in favour, that initial decision is set aside. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Councillor Ross, Councillor Bowe, Councillor Power, Councillor Bell, Councillor Galeen, those against? Councillor Haynell, thank you. That motion is carried. Item 9.3, Investment Attraction and Growth Report. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the Investment Attraction and Growth Report for November 2021. Councillors, before we ask from someone to move the motion, do you have a question or clarification required? Councillor Haynell? No. Councillor Ross?
Yes, thanks, Madam Mayor. There's lots of good stuff to read here, but in our planning for subdivisions around Horsham and the future developments in Horsham, in our planning scheme, do we allow look at the average size of our allotments and where they're placed in town? Do we have a mixture of sizes? Why I'm asking this question is I'm concerned, look at the subdevelopment, the sizes of many of the blocks in north of Horsham compared to other parts of Horsham. And with our Horsham North strategy, we're trying to lift, I guess, housing standard and standard living in that part of town. I'm just concerned about the average size of those blocks and what I see. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. This isn't about planning subdivision. This is just a report. So we will address your question in another forum.
But it's the contents of the report.
Yes, but it's not about the actual planning schemes, just reporting that there are planning subdivision applications in, so we're not debating the actual subdivision. It's just noting and receiving the report. So we'll address your question at another point. Councillor Power, do you have a question or clarification required? No. Councillor Bell? Councillor Bell, do you have a question or clarification?
No, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Bow?
No, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. All right, councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as motion? Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I move that council receive and note the investment attraction and growth report for November 2021.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Power. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? Councillor Bell, you may begin, please.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I found quite a few things in here interesting, as I usually do. And the first part is the subdivision. I just wanted to raise that I do have serious concerns about what we're creating with this some of these subdivisions. And I would like to note that I will be raising this in future. The permits are always really interesting. I would have like to make a comment on the extravaganza, just getting to the last page, where in the conclusion that the Christmas extravaganza held on the 26th of November was well supported by the community with a large crowd attending, which was, yes, spot on, it was great, and that the spend map indicated the 26th of November as peak spending day. I'd like to highlight the fact that that Friday in November has been a peak spending day for the community and for the businesses since the Wimmera-Mail Times decided to do the Black Friday event. It's made a huge difference. It was always the Friday of Kanemaru, but Kanemaru always struggled with the businesses. A lot of them didn't feel that they got value out of it, whereas the Black Friday has definitely changed that. The extravaganza, I don't believe was contributed majorly to the spend, but it did contribute majorly to the atmosphere in the CBD and moving our community into a different state of mind coming out of COVID. So it was great to see some Christmas happening and some activity in the CBD. And a lot of that was at the end of trading. So I just felt that topped off a really good day for everybody who attended. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Councillor Power.
Thanks, Madam Mayor, and well spoken, Councillor Bell. This is the Investment Attraction and Growth Report. It's a fantastic report that gets given to us. I'd like to congratulate Fiona Gorman and Kevin O'Brien and all their staff for the effort that goes into this report. Fantastic to see that November, December were good months for Horsham because, unfortunately, come January, things slow down in and around Horsham. We here have a tendency to travel away from Horsham to the cooler spots of the coast for holidays. So our figures for January might not be all that hot. But they are great reports, the planning applications, the building services, the permits and that show Horsham is on the rise. So we really need to keep on pushing ourselves as a destination for holiday makers so as they can come to Horsham but create a holiday out of Horsham and using Horsham as the hub. Fantastic to see. The figures are really good. So I just hope that we can, for 2022, keep putting Horsham on the map for all the good things that we have in Horsham and the surrounding area. Put Wartook out there, put Nattymuck, put Mount Arapiles, put Jung on the map, put Pimpinio, and all the smaller places and our lakes, our fishing in the river and so forth. If we can promote Horsham, and keep it up there so people want to come and visit Horsham. Horsham will then grow. Our businesses will grow. Our numbers in the community will grow and people will want to live here. So congratulations again to one and all who put this together and I look forward to the next one. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Would anyone like to speak against this report? Would anyone like to speak to this report? Councillor Ross, I saw your hand go up first.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. What I really liked about this report was that the heritage presentation in relation to valuing our historic buildings in town. In the past, too many times, I think the wrecking ball has gone through too many great buildings in Horsham. It's really great to see now that the architectural ones that stand out are being, loved and protected and will be kept for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. I concur. Councillor Bow, I saw your hand go up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The previous councillors have all sort of taken the words out of my mouth, but it's what I was going to say, and I totally back them up. I might just run through what I was going to say, because it's very similar to, it's another informative report. I always look forward to seeing it. I love seeing the heritage improvement, especially with the Mechanics Institute receiving the facelift with the historical paint scheme and the gold lettering. I went to had a look on my way to a funeral there on the last Monday. I look forward to seeing other improvements and just can't wait to see the outcome of the Horsham Theatre cinema when it, as it's known under the microscope, to establish the original colour scheme. And once again, I was at the Christmas extravaganza, and it was great to just see all the families out, the kids mingling with and looking at all the animals and that they had there, and all the different music, and even the scavenger hunt that the youth council had, that received fantastic news about it. And yeah, so that's all. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bow. Would anyone else like to speak?
Yes, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Haynell.
So it's encouraging to see that more land is being released for housing in Horsham North around the De Castella Drive area. Finding housing options to meet the demand is critical right now. Let's just hope we have enough qualified building tradespeople to also assist with the demand. Once again, I always say this, it's great to see Horsham doing so well as a destination. Been noting that for the last three meetings, and continue to be pleased and note the popularity of Horsham as a visitor destination. And I think it's important that we all ensure that they come back one day and hopefully even stay. And just to agree with Councillor Ross, I love the concept of retaining our heritage buildings and architecture, everything from the old to the new. I've grown up in many of these buildings, and I'm sure many of the councillors have too. They're part of my personal history, and I love that there's potential for tours and walks around the city to explore and discover for us as a community, and also anyone around the world who loves architecture. We've got some great examples here in Horsham, everything from the Mechanics Institute that has had a recent facelift to the more modern and amazingly designed ANZ Bank building in Fibray Street. There's so much to experience and learn about these spaces.
Thank you, Councillor Haynell. Councillor Bell, is there anything else you would like to add?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. That being the case, councillors will put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Those against? That is carried. Thank you, councillors. Nine point four, Audit and Risk Committee updates and annual appointment of chair. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the minutes of the Audit and Risk Committee meeting held on 18 November 2021. Councillors, are there any questions or clarifications before we continue? Councillor Haynell. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Sorry I haven't raised this earlier. I only just noticed that in my final reading of the agenda, I suppose, and the appendices. In a business arising from the previous minutes, it talks about council approved the reappointment of Richard Trigg for another three-year term under 6. That's appendix 9.4A, 6.1. Your council approved the reappointment of Richard Trigg for another three-year term. He's been appointed for another year, my understanding is, which completes a three-year term. That may need to be corrected in the record.
Thank you,
It contradicts actually the summary page on 9.4.
Yeah, so we'll fix that. No, it's well picked, Councillor Ross. So yeah, we'll fix that.
So it's just a typo?
Yeah, because so Mr. Trigg was appointed to the audit committee for 3 years, but his chair appointment is for 1 year. And that's the recommendation.
Did you hear that, Councillor Ross?
I did, thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll correct that in the minutes.
Well, it may be correct then. My understanding was for the chair. Anyway, thank you.
The chair was for 1 year. The appointment put to the committee was for 3 years. Mr. Barlow just confirmed. Councillor Power, do you have any questions? No? Councillor Bowe? Councillor Bell?
Yes, thanks, Madam Mayor. Just a couple of quick ones. In here it mentions the business continuity policy draft and the fraud and corruption control policy and the fraud and corruption control procedure, all drafts. Are they actual policies and procedures that come to council for final approval, or is that just all done in the audit committee, please?
Mr. Barlow?
Good question, Madam Mayor. Look, I'll have to take it on notice unless Ms. Bell can actually answer that.
My understanding is that they weren't signed off by the audit and risk committee yet. They're still in draft
form. Yeah.
So they wouldn't be coming to council yet anyway.
Yeah, but I think the question, as I understood, is that whether the fraud policy and the procedure will come to council. I think that's the question.
Yes, it is.
That's correct. That was the question. They are listed as drafts.
I think it's be good for us to actually bring this policy to council for adoption, the fraud and corruption control policy. Yeah, so we can certainly make a note of that.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor.
And there was also in the committee, it says the committee encouraged getting guidance from the relevant peak body. Can you tell me who the relevant, it's in 8.4 in there, in the appendix. Who is the relevant peak body, please?
You just have to bear with me. I haven't opened the appendices. So that's number 9.
Number 8.4.
Yeah, 9.4 appendix, so.
So it's number 8.4. Yeah, so I'll have to just go back to the minutes and I'll have to take it on notice, Madam Mayor. Yeah, I'm just trying to actually think about the context of this discussion at the committee. I was present at the committee, but I can't actually recall what the context was.
We might follow up on that.
You'll have to take it on notice, Councillor Bell. We'll come back to you on that.
Thank you. And it's just a point to note in 13 in the minutes, the council plan wasn't adopted till the 25th of October. So I think you may need to correct the minutes there. Just something that I noticed. It says it was passed in August. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Councillor Bell. Another typographic error. We will have that amended as well. Okay, councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Haynell.
That council receive and note the audit and risk committee meeting minutes of the 18th of November 2021, appendix 9.4A, and appoint Mr. Richard Trigg as the independent chair of the committee for an additional 1 year term.
Thank you, Councillor Haynell. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Bell. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? That being the case, we'll put this motion to the vote. Councillors, all those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. 9.5, Community Development Grants Policy Review. The purpose of this report is to adopt the amended Community Development Grants Policy. Councillors, do we have any questions before we move? This is a motion. Councillor Haynell.
Well, it's not really a question other than to just clarify, did we actually, I know it was listed in our briefing of Monday the 17th, but did we actually discuss this? And considering we had one councillor absent, just want to clarify.
Yes, we did, Madam Mayor.
Yes, it was raised. Councillor Ross, do you have any questions, clarifications?
No, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Power, Councillor Bowe, Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just in the discussion part on page 2 of the report, it says nomination of members for the internal assessment panel. Who actually is the internal assessment panel, please?
Mr. Bala, are you able to answer that, or one of the other directors be more appropriate?
Sorry, I'll just get to the...
Sorry, if I can rephrase that, I meant who assesses so there's members nominated for the internal assessment panel. So who actually assesses those nominations for the panel? Sorry, it's very long-winded. It's hard to explain.
So who appoints the independent committee?
It says that nomination of members for the internal assessment panel, but I just wondered who assesses the nominations for the panel, please.
So that's an internal, it's an internal committee of officers. It has been in place for quite some time. And I wonder whether Mr. O'Brien or Mr. Martin may know the background as to where the nomination of those members has come from.
Madam Mayor, if I may, then I can't outline the background to it, but it reflects the responsibility lines across the organisation, and it has a broad range of members. It's led by Susan Surridge, our grants officer, which is obviously directly applicable to this policy. Her job title's changed from that, but historically that's what it had been. And it has representatives from a range of other areas across the organisation, typically including finance, recreation and open space, assets, and I think a couple of others as well too. So it's a range of staff members with specific responsibilities for the areas of relevance to the program and to the applications that we receive for it.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I think Mr. Martin's back to the way I kind of phrased it in the start. So he's actually talking who's on the internal assessment panel, is that correct? Which is what I thought that it'd be a good breadth. But I was actually asking because it says nomination of members. I just wondered who was dealing with the nominations of the members. I can understand what Mr. Martin's saying, but I just found it, I was intrigued about who would assess those.
That's something the CEO would do, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Okay, councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Ross. No, I can't hear you, Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Robin. Madam Mayor, I move that Council 1 adopt the amended Community Development Grants Policy, Appendix 9.5B, and 2, set aside $10,000 from the grants allocation in the 2022-2023 budget to implement an annual youth funding stream to be delivered as a new program commencing from the 1st of July 2022.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Bell. Is this motion opposed? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? That being the... Oh, Councillor Ross, you may commence, please.
Sorry to postpone the length of the meeting, but these community grants are a wonderful thing for our community. The small volunteer groups enables them to match with their own kind and double the outcomes they can achieve. And it's a great thing to help our community out and help it grow and for the quality of life of our residents and municipality. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to speak to point 2 of the recommendation and how pleased I was to see that there was a grants allocation to implement the annual youth funding stream. I think we've got a lot of things we can do in the youth area, and I'm really pleased to see that we're doing those sort of actions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Bowe.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I also like to say the community grants policy and application form gives community opportunity a great opportunity to apply for further funds and assistance to the community groups where it's most needed, as so they can make our community better and make things happen and help keep our community going forward. Like Councillor Bell has said, with part two of the recommendation, I'm just looking forward to seeing the start and the outcome of the youth funding stream, which is going to commence on the 1st of July 2020, as this was part of the 2018 Youth Strategy Recommendation, Section 4, Item 4.2 on page 22. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Would anyone else like to speak? That being the case, Councillor Ross, would you like to close out? Is there anything else you would like to add?
I'd like to add thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. That being the case, councillors will put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. Mm-hmm. 9.6 Quarterly Community Engagement Update. The purpose of this report is to receive and note an update on the community engagement undertaken in the past 3 months since October 2021 and the proposed activities for the next 9 months. Councillor, are there any questions or clarifications before we proceed? Councillor Haynell. Councillor Ross. No, I can't hear you, Councillor Ross.
Thank you. It would help if my icon came up on the screen. It doesn't, so I continually don't see it. Anyway, thank you. In relation to, I guess, the Horsham North Local Area Plan, there's been no meetings. Is that really early on at this stage, or what's the reason there's been no meetings in relation to that project?
Mr. O'Brien, are you able to answer that question?
Through you, Madam Mayor. So basically, the project manager, Evan Berwin, is collecting all the information, and we expect consultation to start sort of the late February, early March with the community around that plan. So it's really just information being gathered at this stage so that we can go out and have some conversation with the community.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Councillor Power, do you have any questions? No. Councillor Bowe, do you have any questions? No. Councillor Bell, do you have any questions?
Yeah, just one, thanks, Madam Mayor. I note that in the conclusion on this report, it says that community engagement will evolve to meet the needs of the council and the community as required. I wonder how we assess what the needs of the community are with regards to engagement, because it always seems to be decided by council based on what they believe, what spectrum of the IAP2 they think's needed. I don't see any needs of community assessed.
Mr. Barla.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Well, I guess there's obviously a number of ways, you know, which we assess the need, you know, so starting with the community vision and the council plan. And as councillors know, you know, we've been through a very extensive process last year through a deliberative panel to identify, you know, where community sees itself, you know, in the next, 20, 30 years. So that's been a comprehensive process. We do have a very comprehensive community engagement policy, which actually is a bit of a lens, you know, on anything and everything this organization does. So we do that. And any project work, you know, we undertake or council undertakes, you know, has got a really strong component of community engagement. And through these different forums, there's a lot of feedback which is collected, you know, from time to time, which actually guides the future work of the council as well. So I would suggest there's not one specific, you know, tool we use. There's a number of different lenses, you know, being used from time to get an understanding of how well we are engaging in that space. And suffice to say, you know, there's always room for improvement, Madam Mayor. And then also, you know, the annual survey we do with the community satisfaction, which is the local government survey, that also gives us some good data and evidence on how well council is doing in terms of engaging with the community. So there's a number of sources across the board we rely on.
Thank you, Mr. Barla. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Bowe.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That council receive and note the quarterly community engagement report and summary of activities to date. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Burke. Can I have a seconder for that motion, please? Councillor Ross. Is this motion opposed? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? Councillor Bowe, you may begin, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I look forward to this report. It gives an update of past, current and future community engagements, to name a few, like the public placing recycling plan, the Horsham North local area plan and the city entrance signage. Some of them will be starting as I heard in a briefing, there's a lot of work that goes in both in front and behind the scenes of getting the planning projects ready to go and to follow it through with community engagement, the engagement process, and the ever-changing COVID situation is challenging as it hinders the ability of engagement to be fair for all of in the community to have their say. I just love community engagement. I've been involved in many over the years, and I've said this before. Community engagement is an important in the life of council and our community, as it's like a two-way street. Everybody's contribution is valued, as everyone in our community has the right to be engaged, be heard, be involved, be informed, be invested, and open to new ideas and transparent in moving our community forward. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Councillor Ross.
Nothing, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Hanell, I saw your hand go up. Yep.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just expressing what Councillor Bell said earlier, I didn't see anything underway for Horsham North planning projects yet, but that's just been clarified, so that's yet to come. I just saw that every other area in Horsham was underway and was, I guess, a bit disappointing to see that there was nothing there for Horsham North as yet. Public engagement's important. And I was going to say, I hope that there's going to be engagement with Horsham North residents and council very soon. But again, Mr. O'Brien indicated that that will happen late February, early March. So that's great to look forward to. And I also noted that the weekly bin service was a preference over a two-week service due to smells and hygienes and things like that. So that was interesting to note through the survey results. And which makes sense for community, I guess. And finally, I am always keen to know, and I'm not really sure, can you just please explain to me who the key stakeholders are for every engagement? I mean, predominantly, who are they? How are they chosen? Who chooses them? Just in the interest of openness and transparency, I just wonder how these key stakeholders are actually collated and put together, if you can explain. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hanell. That will change according to the project. Any other comments, questions? Anyone else like to speak? Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I know that in the community panel report, they were particularly keen to see earlier involvement of community so that it wasn't actually plans that came out to the community for feedback, that they were involved in the early evolution of the actual plans. So I look forward to seeing less of the inform level on this spectrum being used and a lot more of the collaborate level. And the collaborate promises to the public, we will look to you for advice and innovation in formulating solutions and incorporate your advice and recommendations into the decisions to the maximum extent possible. I'm sure the community would like to see that too. And then I mightn't get so many comments about we don't put submissions in anymore because nobody listens. So if the earlier we have people, and there's a lot of research and reports and notes and suggestions and facilitation guidelines that suggest that for the greatest success of public space projects, the earlier the involvement of the community, the better the outcome. So I look forward to that, and hopefully Horsham North might be one of the early pieces of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Councillor Bowes, is there anything you'd like to say to close out?
No, thank you. Madam Mayor, all I'd like to say is thank you for councillors for their comments, and that's all. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Councillors, we'll put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. 9.7, contract VP 275060, supply and delivery of one new motor grader with optional trade-in. The purpose of this report is to award contract VP 275060 for the supply and delivery of a new John Deere 672 GP all-wheel drive / six-wheel drive motor grader with a 4.26-metre blade, rippers, scarifiers and GPS, including trade-in of a John Deere 772 GP six-wheel drive motor grader. Councillors, are there any questions or clarifications before we proceed? Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I was just wondering if Mr. Bala or yourself, through you, Madam Chair, could actually explain to the community why this has come back to council, please, in the interest of openness and transparency. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Mr. Martin, would you like to answer that question, please?
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. Unfortunately, we made a mistake. We made an interpretation of the pricing submitted by the dealer in their tender that we reported to the previous council meeting, where council had accepted and awarded the contract for this supply. So we bring this back to you to report that that number was mistaken, and that we've done a re-evaluation of this tender for all of the submitted tenders.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Is there anything else you'd like to add? No. Anyone else got a question, comment, clarification? Councillor Ross?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I mean, I'm still learning stuff at council. Now, in the recommendation, it says that to set aside its decision. Does that mean the same as rescind, or should it be rescind? To my understanding, the word set aside means the policy still exists. You're simply just sort of ignoring it, or should the wording be rescind?
It's got, yeah, through you, Madam Mayor, it's got the same effect. So effectively, with once council resolves under number two, it automatically overrides the previous decision of council.
So set aside is an equally valid word. Rescind. Okay, thank you, Councillor Ross. Does anyone else have any other questions or clarifications before we proceed? That being the case, councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Haynell.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The recommendation is that council, number one, set aside its decision from the 13th of December 2021 meeting to award the tender for a supply of a new grader to RDO Equipment at the net changeover price of $366,400 ex GST. And number two, accept the tender of RDO Equipment for supply and delivery of a new John Deere 672 GP AWD / 6WD motor grader with a 4.26-metre blade, rippers, GPS and scarifiers at a total cost of $455,000 ex GST, representing a new grader purchase price of $499,900 less trade-in of $133,500 plus a Topcon 3D GPS system priced at $88,600.
Thank you, Councillor Haynell. Can I have a seconder for that motion, please? Councillor Bowe. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? That being the case, councillors, we'll put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. Item 9.8, procurement operations, preparation of operating procedures and systems, council works program, depot contract 11-022. The purpose of this report is to appoint a provider to deliver fit-for-purpose operating procedures and systems for Council's Works Program. Councillors, do we have any questions or clarifications before we proceed? No, that being the case, councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move this as a motion? Councillor Power. You're on mute, Councillor Power.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. The recommendation that council approve the appointment of a Field Force 4 for the Efficiencies Fix project, fit for purpose operating procedures and systems for council's works program, contract 21-011 for the lump sum payment of $370,000 ex GST.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Do I have a seconder for this motion? Councillor Bowe. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? Councillor Powell, would you commence, please?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I had doubts for a start until we had the briefing on it, and I'm now sure that we need, as lost my train of thought, sorry. We need this system. We need the system to improve our efficiencies. That's what it's all about. And to do so and to provide the openness and transparency as we all talk about at the moment, if we can, and we put this out, show people that we are doing things that are fit for purpose, as it says there, operating procedures and systems. If we can improve our service to our community for a reduced cost, it's got to support the whole of our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Councillor Bowe.
No, I don't have anything to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I hope this program provides a simplification and also an efficiency of operations so we get better outcomes, more outcomes for the same cost or less cost. And it's probably a really sound investment in improving our work systems and programs. And it's essential we try and develop and get those efficiencies. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just a comment in the risk implications. It's got a project control group, including members of key non-operations areas of council. I assume that there'll be some representation from those who actually work in the area at some level, because often the people on the ground actually notice things that aren't quite working. Can I make that assumption?
You can, and we'll clarify with Mr. Martin in a moment. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Councillor Bell?
The only other thing was thorough substantiation of the tenderer's proven capacity to deliver. I was interested in understanding how this thorough substantiation of their proven capacity was worked out.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. We might discuss that in the confidential part of the meeting. Mr. Martin, is there anything you'd like to add about the works crew participation in the panel?
Yes, Madam Mayor, just a minor slip with the write-in that naturally it will include members of the operations team. I think the point of the sentence there was to say that it will also include members from other parts of the organisation. So, yes, just need to be very precise with our wording, don't we? Thank you.
Correct. You'll always get picked up.
Excuse you, Madam Mayor. Excuse me for a second. I've checked a CFA fire alarm, so I'll be back in a second. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Just hold on for a moment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Does anyone else wish to speak to this item? Councillor Power, is there anything you'd like to say to close out?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillors, that being the case, we'll put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. Item 10, Councillor Reports and Acknowledgements. Could I have someone move that we suspend standing orders, please? Councillor Bowe. Have a seconder, please. Councillor Ross. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. Councillor Haynell, is there anything you would like to report or acknowledge? No, thank you. Sorry, I didn't see you shake your head. Councillor Ross, is there anything you'd like to report or acknowledge?
Nothing. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Power?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Very short, sweet and short. Just like to, although it's very late at the moment, we're now, what, the 24th of January, but I would like to wish all our community members a happy new year, and hopefully it's a better new year than what it was last year.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Councillor Bowe.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to say welcome back, everyone, as we're all set to tackle another year of making our community the best it can be. As our community moves back into routine after the Christmas New Year holiday period, I'm looking forward to catching up and supporting our community to deliver sustainable and strong outcomes as we move our community forward from the ever-changing COVID environment. It's awesome to see there are different sporting prompts happen over the past month, giving opportunities, community members opportunities to represent the communities. I went to have a look at the regional tennis prompt. Took me back to when I was playing C-grade tennis on the lawn courts at Hoyan. And it's also great to see the a musical welcome to the to Horsham, as some local musicians played at the Horsham Railway Station platform for the Overlander as it's celebrating its 150th year of transporting passengers from Melbourne to Adelaide. On a sad note, I'd like to. I sort of came across the funeral notice boards, and I'm very sad to sort of see some community members pass away. And so I'd like to wish them the knowledge and pay my respect to community members who have passed away recently. They'll be all forever in the hearts of your families, friends, and the community. I have known some through my community involvement or from their family members. One of those community members I'd like to acknowledge is Tony Phelan, councillor in the 2012-2016 term, and was also the 2005 electoral returning officer. This is when I first tore meeting Tony. Tony was a farmer at Clear Lake. I'd been a school teacher for 22 years. A member of the Clear Lake CFA, the Clear Lake Cemetery Trust. Tony had a real passion for the community and a passion for classical music, because I heard many great memories and stories, and some of the grandkids done share some of the videos that Tony has done, because I recently attended his funeral on the 17th. So thanks, Tony, and I'm thinking of your family at this time. I also like to acknowledge the passing of Wendy Milton on the 7th January 2022 after a short illness. She was formerly the CEO of Women Uniting Care. I think she was from 2008 to 2012, and just recently was the CEO of Argyle Housing. I'll never forget that purple hair and g'day, how are you going, Green? And when you sort of caught up with Wendy, there are so many words that can describe Wendy Milton as caring, loyal, a good listener, with a wicked sense of humour, and an advocate. that you'd want on your side to tackle the issues that matter to you or to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate our community on going back into safe mode, trying to protect each other with more COVID around. They seem to have gone back to the same sort of shopping as we had with part lockdowns, where they actually just go get what they need and leave, which is making the CBD appear a lot quieter than it is. There are a lot of businesses still struggling, and we need to be aware of that. And I hope that the community are looking to buy locally rather than online if they where they possibly can. I also commend the Lawn Tennis Club for organising their regional championships. We used to travel away on long weekends and Easter and whatnot to a number of places as a family playing tennis on different lawn courts up at Swan Hill, etc. Great memories, and it's great to know that we're part of creating those memories. I'd also like to acknowledge the passing of Bob Atkins. I had some others like Davey had, but Bob Atkins recently. He was a prominent business person and community member involved in a lot of things for a number of years. And on the overland, it was great to see the celebration, but it'd be also really good as a community, we start to promote exactly the connections that the overland provides and how much fun it can be to travel on it. I think if we want to keep that, and it's only on borrowed time, that we really need to be doing something to tell people, because a number of people that I tell that they can get on there and go down or whatever, they don't realise that that's the case. So I'd like to see us doing more in that. So yeah, final note, I'd like to encourage the community to understand that a number of people are isolating because they're waiting on COVID tests and things like that, or they've been in contact. And I've heard from a couple of people where they couldn't contact the hotline to get support and they didn't have other local support. So, you know, if you see a neighbour that isn't going out like they normally do or whatever, perhaps you could actually make inquiries to see whether they need some support if they haven't been able to contact any. So on that note, that's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. I'd also like to add that Bob Atkins was the mayor of the city of Horsham in 1984 to 1985. So he was a community leader as well. I'd also like to acknowledge those who are doing it tough through COVID, whether they've caught their illness themselves, they're close contact in isolation, their businesses are being affected, their work's being affected because of it. There is support and help available. So the council reception would be able to provide you with other links to support services if you are unable to get the hotline. Could I have someone move that we resume standing orders, please? Councillor Power, Councillor Haynell, all those in favour, please raise your hand. Thank you, that is carried. Could someone please move that we now receive those reports? Councillor Power, Councillor Haynell. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you, that is carried. Item 11, urgent business. There is no urgent business. Item 12, petitions and joint letters. There are no petitions or joint letters. Item 13, procedural business. 13.1, informal meetings of councillors, record of meetings. The purpose of agenda item 13.1 is to receive and note the informal meetings of councillors' minutes for the council briefing meetings held on 17 January 2022, the CEO performance review held on 19 January 2022, and the flood amendment conflict of interest meeting held on 19 January 2022. 13.2, sealing of documents. There are no documents to seal. 13.3, inward correspondence. Likewise, there is no correspondence. 13.4, council committee minutes. There are no council committee minutes. Councillors, the recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that?
Excuse me, Madam Mayor. I've just got a couple of questions on the informal meetings, the way they're listed. Could I ask about that, please?
Certainly, Councillor Bell.
So firstly, the CEO performance review there is listed as that on the summary, but when you go into the actual meeting, it's listed as CEO Employment and Remuneration Committee meeting. I don't believe it can be listed as that because only the councillors are part of that committee, and it shows Mr. Barlow is present at the meeting. So that's just one comment on that. And the other one is the flood amendment. It's recorded there as a conflict of interest meeting. It wasn't actually a conflict of interest meeting. It was a map viewing session for councillors, which is what it was actually referred to in the briefing notes of the 17th of January. And really, that's what we did. We had a map viewing session. So I just wanted to get corrections for the...
We will make those corrections in the minutes. So, yes, thank you for raising those points. We will make sure they are correct in the minutes. Councillors, we have a recommendation. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Bell. You're on mute, Councillor Bell.
Sorry, I got out of sync. I move that Council receive and note agenda items 13.1, informal meetings of councillors, record of meetings, 13.2, sealing of documents, 13.3, in respondents, and 13.4, Council committee minutes. Thank you,
Councillor Bell. Could I have a seconder for that motion, please? Councillor Haynell. Is anyone opposed to that motion? Does anyone wish to speak to that motion? Councillor Ross. Councillor Bell, is there anything you'd like to say?
Nothing to say, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Haynell, is there anything you'd like to say? Thank you. Councillor Ross, is there anything you'd like to say?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. In relation to the Dot Point CO performance review held on Wednesday, the 9th of January 2022, it'd be more accurate if that was said it was part CEO performance review, because it's a final statement there of conclusion when it's not, because there's still parts of that to go.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Thank you. We will amend that in the minutes. Are there any other comments, speaking points that people would like to raise? That being the case, councillors, we'll put that motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you, that is carried. 14, notice of motions. There are no notices of motion. Item 15, confidential matters. There are confidential items on the agenda for consideration tonight. I now advise that the meeting will close to the public so that we can move into confidential matters. I also advise that when the meeting moves into confidential matters, we'll be moving to a different platform. I will be asking each attendee to confirm that where they are participating from is secure and to ensure that the deliberations are confidential. Can someone now move that the council meeting closes to consider moves into confidential matters, please? Councillor Haynell, Councillor Power, all those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillors, we will commence at 7:45.